Most of us are keenly aware of the difference between light and darkness. When it is light outside, we can see color, texture, we can see details. As the sun begins to set, the color begins to fade, and gradually the ability to discern fades away, and we cannot see very much at all. This was part of God's plan. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. But then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The reason that I'm starting with this particular verse is because this concept is carried over into the spiritual realm. There is light and there is darkness in our world, and there is light and there is darkness in God's world. The light in our world is clearly seen because we know when it's here. We know when it's not here. We need to learn how to do that with the light that is in God's world. If we are walking in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son cleanses us. But if we walk in the darkness, then we are deceiving ourselves. And so as we develop this theme, we want to begin in 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, where it says, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all." Now, he's not talking about the light that was created on the first day of creation. He is speaking of the light of truth, the light of knowledge, the light of what is pure and holy, which all emanates from God. When Jesus came into the world, this is what was said. "The light shines in the dark." I'm sorry. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Now, there's a different thought, isn't there? Because now the darkness can think. The darkness can comprehend. This is not the darkness of Genesis. This is the darkness within our heart and within the hearts of all people who have committed sin. Jesus was the light of men, and that light, as long as he was in the world, was shining in the darkness. But most of the Jews did not see that light. They were in the darkness. They considered Jesus to be a sinner. They considered Jesus to be a problem, a false teacher. They were in the darkness, and the light that he brought, they did not comprehend. They did not understand. And so the question that we're going to be posing in this lesson proceeds is, do we understand? Do we comprehend the light? Do we see the light everywhere we go, or are we too walking in darkness? Are there certain pockets of darkness that are still within us? When God reveals that a certain activity is sin, and I see that in the scriptures, the light has shined upon that act. But when I get away from the scriptures, sometimes my mind wants to go back into the darkness. I don't want to remember that this is sin, because once I see it clearly, it's not something that could be enjoyed anymore. And so the light shines in the darkness. The darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, not to bear witness of Jesus. And of course, we know that that's why he came, was to give witness to Jesus. But in this particular context, he says that he has come to bear witness of the light, that through him, that all through him might believe. So now we see a comparison or a joining of believing and seeing and light. Verse 8, he was not that light. This is John. John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent bare to witness of that light. There was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Now, the basic concept here is very simple. When God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they were in the light. They could see clearly. They understood exactly what they were doing. They were in the image of God, in the likeness of God. Their emotions were God's emotions. Their thoughts were God's thoughts. Their morals were God's morals. They could see clearly. They understood exactly. Then they committed sin. The knowledge of good and evil could just as easily have been worded as the knowledge of light and darkness. And just as they immediately descended into evil until at the time of Noah, which was only, about 10 or 12 generations, every imagination of the thoughts of men's heart were only evil continually. Or every imagination of the thoughts of men's heart were in the darkness. They did not want to see that what they were doing is wrong. And so Genesis is not the difficult concept to grasp. We all understand at night it's dark, that if we're in our room at night and it's dark, we can trip over things because we can't see. We have to be more careful. We walk differently in the darkness than we do in the light, because we understand that there is an ignorance, there is an inability to see. Now, if we didn't live in this world, then those terms would be very hard for us to understand. That there was darkness and there was light. But because we're in this world and we see it all the time, we know exactly what it is. We see it every day. But the concept in John is a little more difficult to grasp, and I struggle with it, and I'm sure you're struggling with it. This idea that somehow we can be in the darkness, that we can somehow not see something clearly, we can stumble over it. Well, God is light, so he's the standard. Whatever this light is, and this isn't the light that he dwells in, we all know from the book of Timothy that he dwells in light unapproachable. But that's not the light that's being spoken of here, and we'll deal with that a little more when we get to 1 John. But Jesus is the light of men, and John came to witness that Jesus was light. Well, before we talk anymore, let's develop some of the scriptures and get a better understanding of what we're dealing with here. So, Jesus was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Then in chapter 3, we begin to get the concept more clearly. This is the judgment that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. They loved the darkness because their deeds were evil. The people who come to the light want to see good and evil so they can make a decision and choose the light. But those who are in sin. So the concept here of light has to do with seeing clearly what is. Seeing clearly what is. Now, we can put our heads in the sand. We can pretend that the way that our world lives is the way that it should be lived. But the reality is that anything that diverges or deviates from God's plan for how we should live our life is darkness. Because God is the creator, and God created us to live as he does. And if we refuse to do that, then he cannot help us. But it's easier to stay in the darkness and say, this is the light. And that's what these people wanted to do. That's why they crucified Jesus. They wanted to crucify Jesus because they believed that the way they lived was the light, and what he was teaching was the darkness. And that's how deceptive and confusing darkness can be. These people believed that their lifestyle would get them into heaven. They believed that their lifestyle was Abraham's lifestyle. When Jesus told them, you're not like your father Abraham, they wanted to stone him. They were angry. Because that's what the darkness does. And this is the problem we face so many times when we bring the light to someone and we show them, this is the way it is, but because they're in the darkness and don't know they're in the darkness, They hate the light because they don't understand the light. And that's the judgment. The judgment, the condemnation, is very simple. God sent His Son as light back into the world to redirect us, to reboot us, so to speak, with the language that we use today. These people, we were wrong in the way we were living. Verse 20, for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. People who are doing evil do not want to change. But verse 21, he who practices the truth, who wants to know whether the way they're living is the proper way to live. Some people don't want to know that. They just want the way they live to be the standard. But unfortunately, there's only one person that can do that, and that's God. God is the perfect standard, and we were created in His image and after His likeness, and we are judged based on how closely we walk. And those who love the truth, they're going to want that. So God is light, and light simply reveals God's ways, God's emotions, God's moral standards, God's truth. Because we were created in the image and likeness of God. So when Jesus says, don't take vengeance, because that belongs to God, all right, that's the light. When He says, don't hate those who persecute you, love them, well, that's God's emotion. And we need to be like God. Now, some people don't want to do that. They want their anger to be the standard, and everyone else has to accept that standard. But God's ways are right. They're light. God's ways are light. God's emotions are light. God's moral standards, and by that I mean whatever He says in the Scriptures regarding what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil, that's the light. We can't change that. If we don't like what God has revealed, or we don't like what Jesus has taught, it means we love the darkness more than the light. We are those people. We don't want to be those people. When we look in the mirror, we don't see ourselves that way. But that's what the Scripture is for, is to reveal it, whether we are that way or not. So if we want to walk in light here, I'm sorry, if we want to walk in light there, we have to walk in the light here. Therefore, Paul says, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man will have his praise, and it will come to him from God. Now look at that verse. He will bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose our motives. If we're walking in the light, then that will be a pleasurable thing. We will want God to shine His light upon us, and we will want God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's why we are obedient to the gospel. But there are people, when the day comes and they're walking in the darkness, this will not be a good day for them. In John chapter 1 and verse 9, we've already read that verse, but that was the true light which gives light to every man. Now Jesus expands on that. Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Now there are many people who claim to be able to do what Jesus said here. They claim that if you follow me, you will be walking in the light. The various idolatrous religions have been teaching that. There are many denominations today who have deviated from the Scriptures in one way or another, who are saying we're still in the light. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And if we follow Him, we will not walk in the darkness. But any time we disagree with Him or His apostles, remember He speaks through His apostles. There's nothing in the New Testament, beginning in Matthew through the book of Revelation, that didn't come from Him. And so if we do what they are saying in the Scriptures, because the light which was in Jesus has now been placed into the Scriptures, and now the Scriptures are the light of the world. And as we read the scriptures, we're reading about light. And then the decision has to come. Will I remain in the darkness or will I move into the light? Will I see things the way they really are, the way Jesus says they are, the way they are in heaven, and the way they should be on earth? Or am I going to see it the way I've always seen it, and the way I want it to be, and the way that I will make it be as long as I'm alive? Well, that's really the question that we all have to ask ourselves. Jesus said, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, when he leaves the world, that light, again, is transferred into the New Testament scriptures. And that's why Paul was so stern with the Galatians when they were so quickly removing to a different gospel. And those who preach a different gospel are accursed because they're preaching darkness again. They're preaching something that came from Moses, not from Christ. In John chapter 12, Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Are you a son of light? Would God look upon you? The word son of is a Hebrew idiom, which means that my mother and my father are darkness, and therefore I am their son. Or my mother and my father are light, therefore I am their son. In other words, everything produces after its kind. So if you want to be the sons of light, then you have to act like your mother and your father are light, and you want to exhibit those characteristics. And Jesus offers that to us. A little bit later in that same chapter, John chapter 12, verse 44, he says this, Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me, sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come into the world to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Why? Because his word is light. He came into the world. Now, we started in 1 John with God is light, and in him is no light, no darkness at all. When Jesus came, as he told Nathanael a little bit later, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's nothing in me. If the Father had come instead of Jesus, nothing would have been any different. Everything that Jesus did, the Father would have done. Everything the Father wanted done, Jesus did. His thoughts, his words, his deeds, his emotions, his teachings all came from God. And that's why he says, if you believe in me, you're not really believing in me, you're believing in him who sent me. And if you see me, you see him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So we're in the darkness before Jesus comes into our life. Why are we in the darkness? Because we don't know where we're going. And we don't know what parts of what we believe are true or false. We don't know what we do, what parts are good and what parts are bad. We're in the darkness. We're ignorant. So if we hear his words, we don't believe, we're going to be in the darkness. And Jesus says, I'm not going to judge him. I didn't come into the world to judge. I came to save. But if you reject me and you continue to walk in the darkness, if you don't receive my words, when the light is revealed on the day of judgment, it can be a frightening thing. You know, we can deceive ourselves into thinking we're good people. And most of us think we're good people. And most funerals you go to, everybody's good. Everybody is what God wants them to be. And yet, we don't all do the same things. We don't all worship the same way. We don't all have the same moral standards. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with that picture. Just to prove that what I'm saying is true, that the light that was in God and in his Son have been placed in Scripture, Here's a passage in Psalms 119, speaking of the Old Testament scriptures. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And you could just read that one if you'd like to, about the path of the just. Because if we're following the scriptures, things get brighter and brighter and clearer and clearer. It takes a lot of faith. I can see the sun. When you tell me it's light outside, I can, it's light outside. But if someone brings me some doctrine and says, this is the light, I don't know if it's light or not. Well, how am I going to find out? I don't know whether the emotions that I feel are appropriate until I take them to the scriptures. Sometimes I find that the things that were dear, near and dear to me are actually only near and dear in the darkness. They are despicable in the light. Let no one deceive you with empty words. He's just finished a list of sinful activities. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers of them, for you were once darkness. But now you are light. Now what's the difference? Well, before I became a Christian, I used the language of this world, and I thought the way this world thought. And after I became a Christian, I used the language of Scripture. And I'm regulated by Scripture. Well, when I was in the world, I was in darkness. Now that I'm in the Lord, I'm in the light. And I have to walk as children of light. And I'm using the personal pronoun I, but we could just as easily say we, because it's true. Every one of us is in the same situation. Then he goes on to say this. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. So now I've got a little bit clearer picture. Jesus is the light. He came from heaven to bear the light of truth into a dark world of superstition and ignorance and false concepts, false ways of living. You remember how Peter put it? He said, do not continue in the vain manner of life handed down from your fathers. Now, most of us don't like to think that way. Most of us like to think that my parents were different. Now, your parents weren't right, because I can see what you're doing is wrong, but my parents were perfect, and so everything I'm doing is right. And that's how a lot of people think. But we need to kick it back one step and say, okay, what does my Father in heaven say about this? And how did my father and mother in the flesh, how did they measure up? And if I find out that what they were doing was darkness, I'd be a fool to say, well, it was good enough for my parents, so I'm going to do it. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So what God created in Genesis chapter 1 is just an illustration of how things operate in heaven and how they work in the spiritual realm. When we do what God says to do, we're walking in the light. When we ignore God, we're walking in the darkness. When we do what the scriptures say, we're walking in the light. If we reject the scriptures, then we're walking in the darkness. And when someone brings the scripture to us, we're going to become angry like they do because we hate the light. And we're going to reject the light and reject the bearer of the light. That's why Paul was persecuted everywhere he went. That's why they crucified Jesus. Don't think it can't happen. It happened with his own people. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So these people, these Jews who were under the law, just like so many Christians today are under the gospel, and yet their law was perverted to a point where when their Messiah came and fulfilled all the prophecies, they were so blind they couldn't see. And they killed him. They crucified their own Messiah because of the darkness that was in them. Now, multitudes of people are doing the same things today. You bring the truth to them, they become angry. Why do they become angry? Because they're in the dark and they like to be in the dark. They're not as interested in what the scriptures say as they are, how they want to live. And we just need to appreciate that that's the truth. I mean, you can walk through life blind, but the truth is, if we're not doing the things in the Scriptures, we're in the darkness. So how we choose to see our life and how we choose to see our will, our world. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. Now, what he's talking about here is prejudice. Prejudice blinds the eyes and causes us to see what isn't there. I like to illustrate it with colored glasses. If I'm wearing green glasses, everything around me is green. And if somebody comes along and says, no, it's really white, I will argue with them, even though it's the green in my glasses that makes it look green. It's not really green. So if my eye is bad, Jesus says, and the eyes of those Jews were bad, and the eyes of all the people today who are laboring under false ideas, they're in the darkness, but they think it's light. Look at verse 35. Take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. If your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, every area of superstition, every area of rejection of Scripture, every area of lust that causes us to argue with or to simply close our eyes when we're doing it, that's a pocket of darkness. If your whole body is full of light, having no part dark. Now, I'm not foolish enough to believe that I don't have any dark parts in my body anymore. I'm constantly looking at the light and shining the light on what I believe, on how I live, on what I think is right and what I think is wrong. And whenever I find a piece of darkness, a point, a portion of darkness, I try to shine the light. But it's hard. You know, you see the Scripture, you see the truth, you see the light, but the next morning, how many times have you heard a sermon and just said, you know, I see this now, I'm going to make some changes. And then you hear the same sermon 10 years later and you say, whoa, I saw this 10 years ago and I still haven't done it. Well, what happened? Well, the darkness descended again. The darkness of human desire, the darkness of stubbornness and rebellion, the darkness of, I just don't want to see it. I don't want to make this change. And if I don't see it, I can still feel good about myself and still think I'm serving God. That's why a lot of people want to go to a different denomination. God is very clear. Let's just take one example, homosexuality. God is very clear in the Scriptures. I mean, when you shine the light on homosexuality, it's an abomination to God. And nothing has changed that. But we have multitudes today who want to be homosexuals and yet want to feel they're right with God. And so what are they going to do? Well, they're going to find someone who will teach them darkness. And then they'll all live in the darkness. And then when somebody like you or I comes with the Scriptures and says, can't you read this? Oh, you just hate people. You don't love people. If you love people, you wouldn't read those Scriptures. And you kind of, well, that doesn't, I guess God doesn't love us because he's the one who gave us those Scriptures. But here's another verse that says exactly the same thing, but just a little differently. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if you look at the Scriptures as a loose way to live your life, you've got a bad eye. Jesus is the light of the world. Everything Jesus said. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount when he concluded with, if you hear these words of mine and do them, you're like a wise man building on rock. But if you hear these words of mine and you don't do them, you're like a foolish man building your house on sand. Now, he didn't say that and not mean it. It's the truth. If we hear his words on any subject and we don't do them, for whatever reason, human sophistry, human fables, just rebellion, just strong prejudice, that can't be so. I can read it in the Bible, but that He can't really feel that way. He wants me to be happy, and this won't make me happy, so there must be a misprint. He must have gotten this one. I mean, people, their minds do strange things. Why? Because their eye is bad. They want something. They want to see something in a certain light. And unfortunately, when light is darkness, look at that next sentence and think about the contradiction there. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? A clear eye means no colored glasses of prejudice or human opinion. A bad eye is when we see things in the perspective we want. So if you're justifying your lifestyle, if you're justifying something in your life, but the scriptures are saying something entirely different, you're in the darkness, not by my words, by Jesus' words. Jesus says, if you can't see clearly enough to see the light in the scriptures, then your eye is bad. And to that degree, you're going to be full of darkness. Whatever area where you are not seeing it clearly and where I'm not seeing it clearly. And brethren, we have to be honest with ourselves. None of us are immune from this. We all have prejudices in our heart that tint and color and distort and make our eye bad. And when we hear a sermon on that subject, we can't see it, so we get angry. Remember what James said about that? He said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. But wrath is a very easy commodity when someone's preaching something from the scriptures that differs from our way of seeing it. And sometimes it's because they're wrong, but sometimes it's because we're wrong. This is the judgment. Now, you've already seen this verse, so I just want to read verse 20. Everyone who does evil hates the light. Now, we're used to reading this globally, but forget it for a moment globally. Let's just talk about specifics. Is there any one specific scripture where you hate what it says and you refuse to come to that and you're not going to submit to that? And we just need to see. I mean, it's just as simple as it could be. That's darkness. It's darkness when the scripture says one thing and I believe something else. And I'm going to be a fool if I think that I can twist the scriptures to make them darkness and what I'm saying light. I'm the newcomer here. I've only been here. I'm 62. I've been here for 62 years. God's been here for eternity. I'm going to die. And I will have no more power over anything. I won't even have a body. I won't have any ability to do anything. But God will still have power. And if God says it's light, it's light. And if you want to try to argue with God on the judgment day, I think you know how it's going to end up. So why hold it? Why not admit I've got a bad eye here and I need to make some changes and clean out this darkness? In Proverbs chapter 2, speaking of wisdom, he says this, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, who are devious in their paths. But I think verse 13 really illustrates what I've been trying to say for the last 30 minutes. From those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. And when Jesus came from heaven to earth, he brought light with him, but he saw a world of darkness. And multitudes in the darkness could not comprehend what he was trying to do. They tried to thwart him. They tried to hinder him. They tried to destroy him. They ultimately killed him, but they did not put out the light because it can't be put out. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. This is that bad eye. When I come to the scriptures, above the scriptures, passing judgment on the scriptures, that's darkness. And it's tough. Because our prejudices are so strong. I've seen sometimes I'm preaching and I can watch somebody and they're just not looking. I can see they don't agree with this. And I'm not breaking through to them. Now, I'm not arrogant enough to say that maybe I wasn't wrong, but I'm not always wrong. And when I preach the truth and I see a brother or sister in Christ who is not going to accept that truth, they're in the darkness. It's not a problem with the scriptures. Not a problem with the preacher. Not a problem with Paul. You know, Paul had some pretty strong things to say about homosexuality. Had some pretty strong things to say about divorcing for any other reason but fornication. He had some pretty strong things to say about women speaking in the church. And most people today are just setting all that aside. Doesn't matter. Well, if you set the light aside to walk in the darkness, let's not be arrogant enough or foolish enough not to realize that when God comes on the judgment day, the light's going to shine and he's not going to compromise on anything in the scriptures. As Jesus said, if you reject my words, those words are going to come back and judge you on the judgment day. And there's nothing we can do about that. That's something, I mean, we can rail against it, we can be angry against it, we can close our eyes and say it's not so, we can walk in the darkness. But God is light, and we can't change that. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. I often think about our own generation, the last two, three generations. You know, in the 40s and 50s, people knew God. They talked about God. There was no government regulation on talking about God. There were verses everywhere. They knew God. This country was founded on a knowledge of God. Not always a clear knowledge, but it was founded on a knowledge of God. And we knew God. But we stopped honoring him as God. And most people don't give thanks. And many are now futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts are darkened. Now they've replaced good with evil. They've replaced sweet with bitter. And they can't even see. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? Now, I've got to see that. At some point in my life as a Christian, I've got to see that the scriptures are light, and that if I want to be light, I have to be in harmony with the scriptures, and I have to think the way God thinks. And I have to say amen to everything God says, and I have to believe everything Jesus says, and I have to do that. That's part of being a Christian. That's part of walking in the light. And these people over here, well, they're in the darkness. What partnership? If light enters darkness, one of two things happen. Either the darkness goes away and becomes light, or the light goes away and it becomes dark. Evil companionship corrupts good morals is basically saying when the light enters the darkness starts to enter into the light. That's why Jesus said, if you've got a lamp, you don't put it under a bushel. You see clearly and you use it to see clearly. That you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they having become callous. You can't hardly prick the conscience of some people. But look again at his statement there in verse 18. Darkened in their understanding. Excluded from the life of God. They don't think the way God thinks. They don't feel the way he feels. They don't hold to his moral standards. They're as different from him as night and day, as light and darkness. Why? Either ignorance or prejudice. If they're ignorant and you show them, they'll thank you. If they're ignorant, I'm sorry, if they're in the darkness and it's prejudice, they'll hate you. They'll become angry with you. So you can kind of look in your heart. If somebody reads a scripture to you and you become angry, just understand you've got some prejudice. Don't blame it on the preacher. Don't blame it on Paul. Don't blame it on the scriptures. Don't blame it on God. The problem is not with any of those things. The problem is with you. Like I said, we're the newcomers here. We either bring ourselves into submission to the way things are, or the problems are going to come to us, not the other way around. God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. As John says, he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So, I think we all see the point. The scriptures, well, let's start with God. God is light, in him there is no darkness. If we want to have fellowship with him and say we walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of his son can cleanse us. If there are portions of darkness within us, Jesus says, if your eye is bad and the darkness and the light in you is really darkness, how great is that darkness? Because there's almost no way. We've got to be honest enough and willing to take the scriptures and let them shine the light into our hearts and make the change. And you will find through the years that there are some lusts that you possess that are resistant to light. And they are wise enough to cover that light just long enough for you to engage in the activity. And of course, as soon as the lust is gone, we're so ashamed because we knew it was wrong. We just allowed that lust to blind us for that momentary moment. And in that momentary moment, we were off in the darkness. And brethren, at some point in time, we've got to keep the light on all the time. And we've got to be able to understand that God doesn't want to hurt us. God does not want to take away our happiness. In Deuteronomy, it says, God gave us these commandments for our good always. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be successful. But he knows that rebellion is a way to failure, not success. And he knows that walking in the darkness will only lead to eternity of darkness. So the choice is ours. I can't force you to see the light. You can't force me to see the light. I don't claim to know all the light. I'm a human being. I know I have things in my life that are... they shouldn't be there. And I know there's probably some of them I don't even know about. But I keep studying. And I keep studying. And I keep shining the light. And that's what we all need to be doing. If something in this sermon has touched your heart, and maybe the light has come on, and you can see that there's something in your life that shouldn't be there, that's why we have a song of invitation. We've got our songbooks marked at number 263. After you heard this sermon, is your heart right with God? After you've heard that if you argue or disagree with or you will not submit to any scripture, then the light in you is darkness. And that darkness, as Jesus said, if you reject me and don't receive my sayings, that will judge you. Those scriptures that you're setting aside are going to be your judge, and they're going to condemn us because we didn't have enough faith to accept the whole counsel. And so as we sing this song, Is Thy Heart Right with God? That's for you and that's for me to answer. And maybe we need to go home and make some serious changes in the way we live our lives. Or maybe we need to come forward and be baptized this morning. We're not even a Christian yet. Or maybe we need to confess our sins and pray one for another that we might be healed. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we together stand and sing.